Very good to be here at this wonderful meeting. You know, as we came in, Mark and I, from the airport last night, I was thinking, how do I open today? What would be appropriate remarks? And I, you know, if I'd arrived at the airport last night and got my own rental car and started driving and started seeing like Las Vegas signs and got on the phone to Mark and said, you know, I picked up this Hertz rental car, but my reality out here is different to your reality there at that BYU auditorium, because I'm seeing Vegas signs, but I'm not seeing any Provo signs. And Mark then said, look, you have an attitude problem. What you need is a motivational course. So I got out of my car and I went on a crash two-day motivational course. And I got back in my car and I started making the same mistakes, but with a positive mental attitude. And so then I got on the phone to John and I said, John, you know, my reality out here is different to your reality over there, because I'm now seeing Omaha signs. And he says, look, you have a driving skills problem. You need to go on a crash driving skills course. So I got out of the car and I went on a crash driving skills course, got back in the car, and I'm now making the same mistakes, but I'm doing them at twice the speed with effectiveness and proficiency and excellence. And eventually I arrived here tomorrow, and they'd had to plug in an MDRT DVD, and the committee was very grumpy. And as I walked in, Mark said, what is the map that Hertz gave you? And I handed him the map, and he looks at that map, and he goes, this is the old map of Salt Lake City to BYU. They've changed the roads. Well, I'm here to tell you, attendees, that if the territory changes, you've got to change your GPS, you better recalibrate it, and you better use a new set of maps. I have lived through the 10 years we're about to go through in the United States. I'm possibly the most qualified coach and speaker to hold your hand and guide you through what's to come, because I worked in Australia and in the UK during the 10 years of most dramatic regulatory reform. And I know you're very emotional about DOL and everything, but DOL is only part of a perfectly predictable historical wave. So let me tell you how it's going to roll in the next 10 years. We will lose one-third of the financial advisors, wealth managers, financial planners, insurance agents, whatever we call ourselves in the United States. One-third will be gone. We're going to have a lot of people selling life insurance on washing machines in Sears and being paid a salary to do that, or they'll be working Coldwell Banker selling life insurance on mortgages. I think there'll be half the number of IMOs left in this country within 5 years. It's happening already. Now, why am I saying that? Because if you're in this room and you're committed to coming out on a Thursday and a Friday to learn new stuff, you're probably going to be the survivors. And if you don't take out one-third of the top 20% of the American economy, but you take out one-third of the advice providers in that economy, what happens automatically to the earnings of the survivors? Go up. When I coached and worked in Australia and the UK, I had no one in the classroom who earned less than $120,000 a year. So I don't think that things are so gloomy and so... I'm not a purveyor of gloom and doom. I think this is a great time to be in this business. But if you want to go to a different place, what you have to do is reinvent yourself and deconstruct what you're doing and maybe challenge seriously your business model and your practices. Now, how many of you, by show of hands, have heard me speak before? How many of you have never heard me speak before? How many of you aren't sure if you've heard me speak before? If you've worked with me before, you know that I go very, very fast. Just a correction to the bio. I'm originally from South Africa, not South America. But that's not the worst mistake that's been made with my office sending the wrong bio in. I had a speaker and a MC in South Africa spend 5 minutes introducing me once as Anthony Robbins to a group of 100 chief executives of listed companies on the stock exchange. Like, how do you live that down, Anthony Robbins? So it was Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, at this hotel. I said, look, just to get one thing straight, if I was Anthony Robbins, I would not be here at 5 o'clock on a Friday night with you anyway. So, if you come past my table in the exhibit area, I promise you, if you give me your business card, I will send you every single one of these slides. You're going to want all of these slides. You don't have to sit at the back of the room frantically taking pictures of the slides. They're going to be words in my breakout session and the main stage session that you're going to want, words that you're going to use with your clients. I'm going to try and give you as much as I can in the 90 minutes today over here and then in my breakout about how you can go and dramatically increase the number of people you're sitting in front of who write way bigger checks to solve bigger problems. Because there are very few of us in this room who don't know enough technically to earn twice as much money. By the time you get through year one, year two in this business, you probably know enough to earn twice as much money. But the reason we're not is because we're not sitting in front of enough people who've got much bigger problems. And I'm an expert and specialist at coaching you in how to do that. But just to clear the audience survey part of my presentation, how many of you by a show of hands are in the business less than 2 years? Put your hands up. Okay? Keep your hands up. You are meant to be depressed. Okay? Stop walking around the office like some drama queen. This is a tough gig. You don't get to make $500,000 a year, take Fridays off in the spring and the summer, and take 10 weeks vacation in a normal job. Let me share something very sobering with you. Most of your marketing is going to fail. I'll say it again. Most of your marketing is going to fail for the rest of your life. And if you can't live in a state of harmony with that, this is a really lousy business to be in. Coca-Cola wastes 50% of their marketing budget. They don't know which 50%, which is why they have to spend 100% of their money. And I'm here to tell you that some of the things I suggest that you do today will work for 2 or 3 out of 10 people, and it won't work for the other 7 out of 10. But you'll make such an obscene amount of money with the 2 or 3 that that's okay as well. So for those that are new in the business, you might be going through life feeling like that. I won't tell you which one is the advisor and which one is compliance, but you want to be doing the, you want to be doing the hitting instead of getting hit, right? These are all the companies... These are all the companies that I worked with in Australia and the UK. We had to transition Barclay Berry Birch. We had to transition 300 people from a commission-based model to a pure fee-based model. We had 90 days to do it when the police put the locks on the doors and shut them down. And not one of those people failed in the business within a year, and I'm proud of that. I'm telling you why I've put these logos up here of the companies I worked with is because there are certain things that you can take to the bank. Certain things you can take to the bank. Is there anyone in this room from the Financial Planning Association? Anyone? No? Let's talk about them. Sometimes I don't get to a place a second time. I was in Irvine with the Financial Planning Association 2 weeks ago, and the committee warned me for 3 months before, you better not talk about life insurance. Don't talk about life insurance in this room because they don't like life insurance and you shouldn't talk about life insurance. And that's a lousy thing to tell me what I'm supposed to say. So my opening statement was I'd like to rename the new association called the Financial Half Planning Association. How can we only deal with assets under management and the asset side of the balance sheet and ignore the risk side of the balance sheet? And let me tell you where this rolls. Eventually a lawyer says, what does it say on your business card? Oh, you were taking a fee for the ongoing management of half the balance sheet? That means that fee was paid for the delivery of ongoing advice. So I think you need to come to court. So I'm here to tell you that if you're a life insurance person, annuities, long-term care, DI person, you're my favorite type of peeps. Mostly because we're the only people who can make guarantees in the world. Your primary financial relationship should be with a life insurance company, Bob and Molly. Can I tell you why? And if you don't get this language right, folks, I need you the whole day then, okay? Why should your primary financial relationship be with a life insurance company before a bank? Go and pull down how much the FDIC has got to support the banks if they fall over. I think they've got 72 hours of money in the FDIC. Before the United States government, the reason for this is that life insurance companies know when you're going to die, which means we can pay people as if we knew when we're going to die. You see, Bob and Molly, we go to the filing cabinet before we pay out a death claim, and we lift the original application, and we look at how much blood lipids there were in the person's blood, we look at what they weighed, we look at their zip code, their driving record, and we feed it back into the actuarial model. And we've been doing this in the history of deaths and in the history of death claims globally, which means we know exactly when people are going to die. We can use the money that we didn't have to pay the younger annuitants to pay bonuses to the older annuitants because the younger annuitants died young and we didn't have to pay them for so long. How does that make them feel? I don't know. They're dead. Phone them. Dead people don't have feelings. It doesn't matter. No, you wouldn't say that. Then you see the second thing that you tell your clients is, do you understand how a life insurance company works? It's like a gym membership. Okay? Most people aren't paying premiums when they die because people lapse their policies because they're irresponsible. You're nice people here in Utah. I would say stupid in other states, but just use the word irresponsible. So what we do is we take underwriting profits and we go and buy skyscrapers and shopping malls with the underwriting profits, which we lease out to the less secure companies in America like Nordstrom's and the Bank of America. Then when the oil is gushing into the Gulf, we stand there with skyscrapers and shopping malls under our arms, and we say, this is a sad day, but it's not a bad day. It's a sad day because there's oil on the penguins and we can't eat oysters for a while, but it's not a bad day because Exxon is still the world's number one oil company post-Valdez, and we think we're going to take skyscrapers and shopping malls and we're going to go and plow into BP stock, which that day sits at $27. And then 8 months later, BP stock sits at $47. What is that as an annual return, Mr. Client? And what we do is we take some of those profits and give it to our mutual fund holders just to keep them quiet and keep them happy. Not too much, but just some. And we keep the rest of the money for ourselves and we buy more skyscrapers and more shopping malls. Would you want to be in business with a company like this? It is incredible. I was in my car driving in Oregon, not my car, my friend Ken Barker, ex-South African, lives in a 13,000 square foot home in Westland, Oregon. I don't think Ken's run less than $500,000 through his bank accounts in the last decade. He has a $4 million policy, and I explained to him how life insurance companies work during the drive. He said, I had no idea that that's how life insurance companies work. And let me tell you, it's a great, great, great business. It's still a great business. Post-DOL, post the drama, the regulation, legislation, compliance, people still die in alphabetical order in the newspaper. They do. People still don't so desperately need us. Most Americans don't understand that 20 times annual income is the minimum. You know why? Because we just passed 9/11. The government used 20 times annual income as the factor when they cut the checks for the Victims' Compensation Fund. They worked out that the average life was worth $150,000 that was lost on 9/11. They multiply that by 20 and they cut a check for $3 million. But they deducted how much life insurance you had. Most Americans don't know that the government did that. Deducted how much life insurance. So if you had a $2 million policy with Mass Mutual or New York Life, they deducted the two from the three and only paid you one, thereby saying that your life was worth less financially because you took care of your responsibilities. But here's the thing. They use 20 times annual income. I have a buddy, Mike McKeithron. I want to get him up here next year. He earns $250,000 a year in Peterborough, Ontario, which is not a big place. And he's the laziest advisor I know. I think he works a four-minute week. I'm not sure. But Mike is the guy that will say to his clients, look, I'm happy to write a 300 grand policy on your 120 grand income, as long as you're happy to give me a letter to explain to your surviving spouse how to get 120,000 out of 300,000 a year. Because I'm unable to write that letter. So if you'd like to write that letter, I'm happy to submit this application form. And he says that to the woman, because the men die first, because they want to. Just kidding. We have a president that called us snake oil salesmen. These are the times that we live in. Okay? JFK said this is a very noble profession. We have this, Matt Krantz, who's a failed agent. All of the failed agents write for USA Today, by the way. Do-it-yourselfers can save big bucks on fees. It's typical for financial advisors to take 1% of your assets each year. See the emotional language? Take 1% of your assets. That's a big drag in your portfolio that's difficult to make up. And he finishes the article by saying, but there's no question that do-it-yourselfers who have the time and interest to build their own portfolios using low-cost ETFs can save a bundle. Oh yes, Matt, how's that been working out for Americans over the last 10 or 20 years with the 2 or 3% we've been getting by ourselves? First thing you've got to understand if we're going to get to know each other here is that we're in the problems business, not the solutions business. There's big problems coming in America, big problems. One of the biggest deep issues that we have is that we have a healthcare delivery system that's broken. And I'm going to tell you why it's broken, and it's not fixable, relatively speaking, if governments are involved. Governments in the history of the world have never been good at looking after all of their old, all of their poor, and all of their sick. They've never been very good at it. So we've got huge problems. You've got 40, 50-year-old clients right now whose parents' nursing home bills will wipe out their retirement income. It's about the parents' nursing home bills because of this demographic tsunami that we have heading our way. I don't think you'll be able to buy a long-term care policy in America within 10 years because the companies are going to take it off the shelf because the size of reserves they'll have to show would blow the company up. Tell your clients this. Explain this to your clients. The deep issue in people's planning is that their plan is not parent-proofed. And I invented those words when I was in Baton Rouge. I was so impressed with myself, I had to sit down to recover. Parent-proofing. You could take what the client has done and you can say, I have no issue with this, but I don't see any parent-proofing here. Where and to what extent is this protected from your parents' nursing home bills? Because you see, you can be worth $3 million at age 60 and only $2 million at age 70. During 10 consecutive years of market growth, you can lose $1 million. It's called $100,000 a year for mom's nurse. You see, we're in the problems with this. Dentists understand this. You've never been for a clear dental checkup. They take out a hook. If you haven't got a cavity, they make one. It's exactly how it works. The poor psychiatrist looks at you and says, you're imagining it. You're a picture of mental health. The wealthy psychiatrist doesn't say anything, takes two pages of notes, reads them back to you, and says, you, Mark, you've got some issues. Okay, go book 10 appointments with my assistant. We sort your issues out. I'm a cynic. I think that chiropractors have got an x-ray of one spine that they're showing to everybody. How do you know it was your spine? Do you ever think about that? As the late, great Ben Feldman said, problem, problem, find the problem. Problem, problem, create the problem. I'm going to give you about 10 things in the next 75 minutes that you can do to create the problem in the mind of the client. And if you just take a few of these out there, you'll earn significantly, significantly more money. So the first thing we've got to do is revisit your job description. Your job description is to befriend, intrigue, disturb, and offer options. I want you fishing with a huge net in a small pond that's filled with salmon and bass and trout. You don't have to write this down. Come by my booth. Give me your card. I promise I'll send all these slides. I'm also going to send you 3 e-books for free to thank you for joining us here at the Taggart Symposium. 3 e-books which you're going to want. Each one of them is an independent, different training course in and of itself. You've got to befriend a lot of people. You see, the challenge is a lot of us want the bigger client. Not that there's anything wrong with Joe the pole climber. Okay, I've got a guy who has the right to do the briefing at Las Vegas police stations between now and December. His name is Bill. He's previous special forces, former law enforcement. You're never ex-law enforcement, former law enforcement. And he has the right to do a 5-minute talk at the briefings at the Las Vegas police stations. There's 4,600 policemen in Las Vegas, police people. 76 out of 78, when I taught him what to say in the 5 minutes, 76 out of 78 at the first 3 briefings booked a meeting with him. But he's going to have to sell a lot of policies to those police people because they can't afford a lot of coverage. I've got a guy, sometimes I get to places where they're very nice to me, but they don't understand me. And I don't understand them either. Birmingham, Alabama. Y'all be in Birmingham, Alabama. I don't understand what they say when they laugh a lot when they speak down Birmingham. They laugh a lot. Hunting and fishing, folks. I don't understand American fishing. I'm from Africa. Okay, we catch a fish, you smash it on the head, put it in the pan and boil up some rice. Not you Americans, you know. You catch the fish, you put it back. You catch it again, you put it back. Anyway. My guy Alan down in Birmingham makes $1 million a year, takes 10 weeks of vacation, and he has the sole rights to look after the people who work for the Alabama Power and Utility Company. How cool is that? And he does not do trust work. I don't think he's ever met a CPA. It's one kind of business. And he goes to 10 places in the state, and you must line up, and if you haven't got everything, you must go to the back of the line. I'll see you next month. And I've said to Alan, I would jump off a building with boredom, the kind of work that he does. But if I was only knocking out 150K, yeah, I might want to try on the million to see how it fits, right? You can make $1 million a year within a 1-hour drive if you're just dealing with school teachers, if you choose to. So I'm not saying that all of us are going to go for the Gulfstream jet flying $50 million client necessarily, but I'm here to tell you that some of them are the most financially illiterate people in the world relative to income. They really are. And I want to teach you some things now and in my breakout about how you get close to those people and how you befriend them. Because with the greatest love and respect for social media, they're not necessarily hanging out on LinkedIn, you know, waiting to reach out with $1 million and say, here's my money because we're connected. Social media is very powerful, but to get to those super elite people, you have to have more than that. You have to intrigue people. You have to give people an ooh moment. You have to be different. You have to be unique. I want you to get to a point that you're so good that when you're on that golf cart, you're standing there in church next to someone, you're at the neighborhood barbecue, and someone makes the fatal mistake of saying, what do you do for a living? There's this blue flame that goes off in your consciousness, right? You're kind of like, shh, it's game time. And you better not tell them you're a financial advisor because they'll run away in the opposite direction. You also then have to disturb people. Your job is to disturb people, to disturb the status quo. Last year, my Oregon Ducks set a record. We always set a record. The record we set last year was that we the single biggest tanking in the history of bowl games in the second half of the Alamo Bowl. I was trash talking on Facebook. I pulled all that stuff off. We were 31 zip up on TCU at halftime, and the TCU players were running into the end zone doing this. And Google's a wonderful thing. I went into Google saying, why are TCU players making a stirring motion in the palm of their hand in the end zone? It was already up there. Because they were literally giving, excuse the expression, the middle finger to the BCS committee saying, you see, we should have been in the top 4 last year. Are you watching now? That's what they were doing. Your job is to disturb the status quo with people. You see, a lot of people think they've got a financial advisor, and they don't. They have an investment account. A lot of people think that they're heading in the right direction, and they aren't. That's why you've got to get out there and do all of these things well and do them simultaneously. And when you disturb people, you want to use some special reports we'll talk about today, not just your company marketing materials. So I'm a big one on befriending. I think that if you prospect a lot, you've got a whole lot of confidence. And if you've got the confidence, then you can kind of pick and choose your clients. And so for the range of producers in this room, I picked a couple of items for you to think about quickly. We go to the football game. Why do we stand next to the same parents every single Saturday, or baseball, or lacrosse, or whatever, hockey, whatever your kids are playing? Why don't you stand next to other sets of parents? In fact, why don't you wait in the parking lot to see what kind of cars are pulling in, and you're looking for the Range Rover limited edition Supersport with the Kardashian rims that spin backwards while the car goes forwards. That's the one that you're looking for. And you follow those parents into the arena and stand next to them. And then you sigh a lot. If the person doesn't listen, you sigh again. Person says, you sound completely exhausted. You go, what a week in the office. My golly, we are just swamped right now. Unless the person's dead or deaf, they're going to say, what is it that you do for a living? Now it's game time. Would you agree? And why do we go home after the football? To sit there going, gee, I hope the Johnsons come to the meeting on Monday, otherwise I can't pay the Verizon bill, instead of staying there. There's different sets of parents coming in there all day. You better have a kid in football, by the way, otherwise the police are going to come and have a little discussion. Golf. You got to play golf a lot. You don't have to be that good, but play golf a lot. Show up with your bag of sticks at 7 o'clock in the morning at the golf course and say, my partner's let me down. Do you have a threesome going away in the next hour? Okay? A threesome. That's what you guys call it. In South Africa, a threesome means something different. I'm battling to adjust here. Anyway, so you go and play with three strangers. Then at lunch, you say, sorry, folks, I can only play the front nine. Got a big client meeting this afternoon. They're going to ask what you do, right? And write this down. You've got to have some tools and resources that can disturb people. You'll know what those tools and resources are after today. Play golf. I was on the golf cart the other day. I play out of McDowell Mountain. Tommy Hegner and I play golf occasionally. He shoots the winter temperature and I shoot the summer temperature. But he's a good friend and we live up the road from each other in Scottsdale. And I was playing golf the other day at McDowell. This guy gets on the golf cart next to me on a Wednesday. He looks so much like Dog from Dog the Bounty Hunter. Okay, I couldn't look at this guy. He had like the gold chains and the leather, the whole thing. It was like medieval style, right? Big guy, twice my size. So I said, what do you do for a living that you get to play golf on a Wednesday afternoon? He says, I place juries for large civil trials. I said, you place juries for large juries? He said, I'm a jury consultant. That's my company. We place juries for large civil trials. He said, I just did a jury for Toyota last week. They paid me $250,000 for 3 days' work because they got a $250 million problem in Southern California called a lawsuit. And I'll bet if I had to look up his name and do my Jedi internet search techniques, I would find out that this guy is probably the past president of the Jury Pickers Association of United States Arizona chapter. And I guarantee that they have a quarterly symposium to collect CE credits to keep something called their jury picker's license. And that's where you find the serious money, folks. Go to the golf driving range, because there are two types of people at the driving range at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Those that can be there without filling in a leave slip with a human resources department, called the self-employed, or what I call RODs, rich old ducks. Let me tell you the story of Harry Williams. Harry Williams used to be the vice president of GlaxoSmithKline Wellcome. Okay, and he retired after 40 years. He walks into the living room after 40 years. His wife is standing there, and she's got a dish towel over both shoulders. He knows he's in trouble at this point. 3 months into retirement, she puts her hands on her hips and says, and now what, mister? Because you're irritating the heck out of me. You better find something to do, because you don't know what kind of kitty litter we buy, and you don't know how to pack a dishwasher. And now I've got to cook 3 times a day for you. So if you don't find something to do, I swear I'm going to divorce you. So he went down with his tail between his legs to the golf club, where he saw his buddies who also got expelled. They said, well, we might as well bring the cribbage and bring our sticks and play around at the golf club all day. And that's where you meet these people. Now, for the less than twos in the business, go buy a set of sticks at Walmart. It's $112. And don't get good. You're slicing the ball all over the place and just grunting a lot. And then you look at him and say, excuse me, sir, don't mean to break your rhythm. You're going 220 yards straight down the middle. Can you show me what I'm doing wrong? Then he says, right, sonny, take your stand over there. Gives you a free lesson. Then you say, you know, if it wasn't for my crazy schedule in the office, I'd be able to come out and play more often. Unless he's dead, he's going to go, what do you do for a living? You say, well, let me buy you a beverage to thank you for the lesson. And then you give him some of the tools and resources that I'll talk about today. Trade show booths. I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I walked in with a group of 120 agents to the Hilton Hotel. There in that other room was a buzz like you wouldn't believe, and some booths just like we have here. I said to the woman, what is this going on? She said, it's the American Dental Association Northern Florida chapter, and we have a symposium every year. There's 150 dentists in that room. I said, how much for this table over here? She says, ooh, they put the price up. Last year they were $375. $525 this year. I said, that's scandalous, ma'am. Scandalous. $525 to get exposure to 150 dentists in that room? What would be the thing that you would give them that you would have playing on a trade show booth flat screen TV like a Tommy Hegner DVD? Oops, you want a copy of the DVD? Not a problem. Fill in that questionnaire over there. And suddenly you're using Hegner, who's $12,000 an hour to speak, to give away a $15 DVD to intrigue the dentist about why you've got to have annuities. It's an incredible time to be in the business. I do private coaching. You've got to earn $500,000 a year to be privately coached, and you've got to come to Scottsdale four times a year to sit on my patio. And I used to say deck, but my accent gives it a problem, so we use the word patio now. So this guy's sitting there. He's a $2 million premium a year earner. And he says to me, I said, so what happens when your calendar's empty? He goes, my calendar's never empty. I said, seriously, what happens when you've got to have some time when you're not in front of clients? He said, Anthony, within a two-hour drive of this home of yours, he says, every owner of every single quick oil change, Jiffy Lube type place, and every single car wash is a client of mine. He says, I get my oil change three times a week, and I get my car wash three times a week. He says, the guys in the bay think it's miraculous that my oil is so clean, and they don't have to do the filters. It cost me $19 for 15 minutes, and when my Bentley or Aston Martin is being cleaned there, it buys me 15 minutes with the owner to say, that's my car out there. Seeing as I'm a customer of yours, can you consider becoming a client of mine? Can I share some tools and resources that I use in the financial planning process? He says, and if I've got nothing else to do, I'll go for my $19 oil change and have a $15 car wash, and I'll turn the car wash owner into a client. And that, folks, is called attitude. You see, I'm finding that a lot of folks in the business don't really like prospecting because they don't know what to say or where to go or what to do. And this is the worst business in the world to be a lousy or mediocre prospector in. You figured that already. It's like Poltergeist. Get out. Seriously, you can go and get a JOB, which stands for just over broke, and they'll pay you $65,000 a year to show up with a pulse. But you've got to get really good at prospecting and learn how to love prospecting. The challenge, of course, that we have is that a lot of us were taught by people who'd failed as salespeople, which is why they're working for a salary in the training departments instead of earning $500,000 a year doing it themselves. So we've got companies that are very good at getting us to 100K a year, but not very good at getting us further than 100K. And there's, of course, a conspiracy in the business, and that is that GAs and managing partners don't have a strong interest in people who earn $500,000 because they're making not that much money on those people. They're making all their money on the new recruits in the business. So that's where there's a vacuum. If you want to go to $250,000, you need coaching. If you want to go to $500,000, I took someone in Baton Rouge last year from $450,000 to $1.7 million in 1 year. And he developed something with me called a stake in your future, STEAK. Do you like it? A stake in your future. And he has Dickie Brennan's on a Monday in New Orleans, and he has Ruth Chris in Baton Rouge on a Tuesday, 5 o'clock show, 7 o'clock show. And the surgeons from the local hospital stop by for a few chunks of steak and some Merlot and a conversation about how you mix different types of steak, and they don't get a whole steak. Average annual premium, $47,000. That is his niche. You see, you've got to have a niche, whatever that niche might be. Shah Roos, who we work with in Scottsdale, takes wood-fired pizzas and chickens to the firehouse. Why? Because Joe's scrambled eggs get a little bit old after a while, right? Not all the firemen are wonderful cooks. And so she goes by with wood-fired pizzas and salads and chickens to the firehouses, and she's writing business with firemen like you wouldn't believe. You've got to have a marketing program. So to start my presentation, because that was my opening statement. I haven't started. I'm just getting warmed up here, right? Change how you introduce yourself, seriously. And you don't have to write this down. I promise I'll send the slides and the ebooks. Don't call yourself one of those because no one wants to meet one of those. No one wants to. Because these people are also financial advisors. You know, you can laugh at Dave Ramsey. The guy did $100 million last year and you didn't, quite frankly, which makes him a clever marketer. He's not even licensed. He's not even licensed. It doesn't matter. Because he's got his hand in your client's pocket in church this Sunday, so what are you going to do about it? And now that he's gone to $100 million, you won't stop Ramsey getting to $1 billion. Because he'll just buy more billboards, and he'll just buy, you know, more ads on the radio. I was with Principal Financial in Fresno the other day. We drove out of their building. Right there is the fence by the high school with a big Ramsey canvas poster on it. I said, what are you doing about Dave Ramsey? The guy said, well, he's difficult to compete with. I said, well, just stop the car with some wire cutters. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that banner. No, I didn't. Bernie made off with people's money. He warned us with his last name. Like, what part of this didn't we understand? Madoff. It's funny, there's a Morgan Stanley rep in Arizona that has a big ad in the newspaper, let me grow your wealth. His name is Jeffrey Slump. And I keep wanting to phone them and say, I would either change the name or lose the ad, but I wouldn't put that out there. Grow your wealth by Jeffrey Slump. But maybe I'm just too much of a cynic. So here's what you can say to people. I help protect middle-aged people from their parents. Because no one knows what that means. Would you agree? You lay that on someone on the golf cart or the neighborhood barbecue, they're going to go, what do you mean? Now, Alzheimer's.org have a special report on their homepage dealing with the cost of dementia care in 2050. Would you please take the special report, print it out, or show it to your clients and get your clients to read it? Cost of dementia care in America in 2050 is forecast to be $1.2 trillion a year. We currently owe China $1.4 trillion. Where's the money going to come from? And this is what you need to talk to your 40-year-old clients about. Use these words with your clients. You might want to write this down. I need you to. I need you to put me in the room with your mom and dad to give them an obligation-free opinion on their financial direction. I need you to tell me what the expiry date is on mom and dad's financial plan. I need you to. You got to do it, folks. What do you do for a living? I annuitize lazy assets. I annuitize lazy assets because no one knows what that means. Grandpa owns a 1 acre at the base of the ski slope. He's been thinking of putting a ski chalet there for 40 years. He never got around to it. You tell me that the kids want to inherit 1 acre at the base of the ski slope. They're going to sell that real estate. And the realtor's going to spot the gap because it's called a distressed sale because they just want to move the lot and get rid of it. Half the time, the realtor buys it themselves for 20% less and turns around and earns 20% by marketing it themselves. That's the lazy asset that you should be selling. We should be selling a truckload of term coverage right now for granddads to buy on grandkids. A truckload of term coverage if you're not going to do permanent life insurance. And let granddad write a letter to the grandkids that gets presented to them at their 21st birthday. You say to granddad, how much do we think you're leaving to your grandkids? I don't know, honey, how much? 100 grand. Why don't you expedite the inheritance and give me that money right now? Now, I have a preference for permanent life insurance, because the grandkids get their own private bank and the gift of guaranteed future insurability. They get the private bank and the gift of guaranteed future insurability. But either way, what do you do for a living? I work with mortality credits and preferential creditors. I defy anyone to say to a person, I work with mortality credits, and have the person say, oh, I got me my mortality credits already. Because they don't know what a mortality credit is. It's like frequent flyer points for living longer. That's what mortality credits are. And a retirement plan without mortality credits in it is not a retirement plan. You could take what a person's done and you could go, look, I have no issue with what I'm seeing here. I just don't see any mortality credits. Can you show me the mortality credits? What do you do for a living? I work with preferential creditors. What's a preferential creditor? Well, Bob, unless you're Mark Zuckerberg or unless you're Bill Gates, if you go to the bank to loan money or to lease something or to have a commercial mortgage, what the bank does is they get you to do a balance sheet. And then they say to you, look, we're very interested in your 1966 Mustang convertible, but we can't really sell that thing. And your wife's tennis bracelet, you must take it off. It has no value. And I'm sure that antique furniture that you've got in the living room has some value, but you must take it off. Oh, you've got a ski, you've got a condo on the side of the ski slope. It's worth $750,000 without a mortgage on. We'll take that. We'll take that as collateral security. And then the way you set it up, the banks, is that if you pass away, they get to own the lake house or the ski chalet, and your family will become the proud owners of some used bulldozers or some iCAT scanners in your dental practice, because they don't want to own the iCAT scanner. They want to own the real estate. So now your family has to sell the iCAT scanner on eBay to try and feed themselves. So what's happened is that the bank has inserted themselves as a preferential creditor in your life. And one of the things that I'm almost half as busy as anything doing right now is I do seminars for CPAs and attorneys. You get 20, 30 CPAs and attorneys in the room, I'll change your year completely. Because what happens is we get them to understand the massive liability risk that they have by misadvising or negligently not advising by default their existing clients in terms of that debt. It's not just a moral issue. It could potentially be a liability issue. And they stand in a line, as they did in Fresno with me the other day, one behind the other, and said, tonight was a total game changer. We had absolutely no idea of the risk we're putting our clients at. But the other thing with CPAs and attorneys, and that's one of the ebooks I'm going to send you to thank you for investing your time at the symposium, is that you've got to focus on one word for them. It's called Billings. And I don't mean Billings, Montana. CPAs and attorneys are not naturally interested in life insurance. You've got to get them to understand how you can increase their billings by them working more closely with you. It's all about the billings. So, you've got to put them in the room with the parents. Ryan, I was going through your file last night. Couldn't come up with a reason why I shouldn't get together with your mom and dad, essentially to parent-proof your existing financial strategy. Do you know the expiry date? Put me in the room with them for an obligation-free opinion. You can tell them to hide their checkbook. There's nothing for sale. Write this down. Senior planning week. I want you folks to have a senior planning week. Senior planning week happens around about Thanksgiving, around about Easter, around about the holiday season, and around about 4th of July, because that's when families gather. And what you do with senior planning week is you set yourself a goal of being in front of 10 or 15 grannies and grandpas for a 2 to 3 hour period each. And you will have an incredible quarter thereafter. You literally double the amount of production that you're chasing on the books if you can have a senior planning week. In today's slides, I'm giving you the email that you use for senior planning week to entice your clients to put you in front of mom and dad and the tools and resources that you would send them. So I made a statement earlier on, and it's an absolute accurate statement. I have a preference for marlin. Okay, bass and salmon are nice, but marlin are kind of the tastiest fish of all. And if you want to go marlin hunting, you can't be hunting for marlin from a dock. You can't be fishing from the dock for the marlin. And a lot of people out there marlin hunting and marlin fishing, and they're fishing like this at the dock. Marlin, marlin. You want to catch marlin, you have to be sufficiently equipped. I fly a lot, 200,000 miles a year with Delta. They dig me a whole lot on Delta. So they put me at the front of the plane quite often. I'm flying from Minneapolis last August back to Phoenix, Friday afternoon. And I'm quite a grumpy guy on airplanes. You're my friends and clients, so I'm nice to you. But on aircraft, like, I have enough people in my life. So the chance that you're a managing partner or a GA or top performing agent or broker are like zero. So I don't talk to people on airplanes. I have these red Beats headsets that I put on that are not plugged into anything. It's just to keep you away from me, right? I put them on. So this guy taps me on my shoulder. We're sitting 1A, 1B last August. Taps me on my shoulder. He says, where are you heading to today? I said, the same place as you. And I put them back on. Anyway, so that didn't chase him away. So listen to what he tells me in the first 5 minutes. He's worth $30 million. He has a 16,000 square foot house on the lake in Iowa, the fourth biggest John Deere dealer in the country, has a 5,000 square foot condo overlooking the whole of Scottsdale with a Maserati, Lamborghini, and a Ferrari in the garage. He has a 50% share of 12 restaurants in Southern California and Arizona, divorced, 51 years old, with two kids at ASU, and then shows me pictures of him and his kids at Wimbledon Center Court at the Olympic Games, New Year's Eve on the Great Wall of China, etc. And he makes the fatal mistake of saying to me, and he shows me the Carly Fiorina benefit invitation that he's hosting at his 16,000 square foot house in Iowa. So you've got the picture. He then makes the fatal mistake of saying, okay, Anthony, you're in the financial business. What should I be doing with my money? And I thought, if I had all of my Taggart Symposium attendees with me right now, these are the magic words, because you might want to remember them. I looked at him, I said, Jeff, probably decide whether you love your children or the IRS more. Listen to the magic words. You should probably decide whether you love your children or the IRS more. He said, what do you mean? I said, you mind if you tell me how much life insurance you have? He says, I have a term policy that expires when I'm 60 for $2 million. I said, and? He said, that's all. I said, you love the IRS more than you love your children. He said, no, don't. I said, don't argue with me, because I will open my MacBook and I will wipe you out. I said, you have a $6 to $8 million estate planning problem at this point based on a $30 million base. I said, is it your intention to become the 12th biggest John Deere dealer in the country instead of number four and to move into your studio apartment in Phoenix East from Scottsdale and only own three restaurants instead of 12 when you're 60? He said, no, obviously growth. I said, the challenge is at age 60, you're heading towards a $15 million estate planning problem. I said, and when you try and buy policies to solve those problems, the underwriters have a nasty habit of conducting advanced due diligence on people like you, which usually involves Facebook and Instagram. I said, and I couldn't help but notice that you had an alcoholic drink in your hand in every single picture that you showed me. So they're going to call for a liver function test and an alcohol questionnaire that you may well just fail, and you'll choke on the size premium they ask for. And I thought, if I had an application form, I would have signed him up right there and then. Now, please don't come past the booth and ask him for me for his contact details, because I've lined him up with one of you already. But here's the point. Those are the kind of clients I want you doing business with. I want you doing business with dentists. You know why? Dentists are unbelievably good at keeping a very busy shop running, but they're unbelievably lousy at managing money, relatively speaking. Doctors, neurosurgeons, top real estate agents, the person who owns 5 car dealerships, they're very good at the car dealership business, but they don't necessarily have their stuff together. So let me deal with objections, because sometimes we get objections from people. Aren't you tired of hearing this one? We've already got someone. We're already working with someone. How would you like to pressure test your existing guy or gal in about 60 seconds, Joe? How would you like to pressure test your existing guy or gal in about 60 seconds? What software program did they use when they documented your plan? E-money, NaviPlan, Circle of Wealth, or back office technician or profiles? You lay that on a person, they go, software. A plan is not a plan unless it is reduced to graphs and charts using a piece of software. You've got to have a plan that's reduced to graphs and charts. Second of all, you're paying for annual reviews. Have you been getting them? Thank you so much, Tom Perez and the Word Fiduciary, for us to be able to go to clients and say, do you know that you've been paying for annual reviews? When was the last time you had one? Because that's what renewal commissions are for the delivery of ongoing service. Has your plan been parent-proofed? Can you show me the parent-proofing? That your parents have got the coverage in place so that you don't become burdened by their nursing home bills. And do you have mortality credits and, as Tommy Hegner says, guaranteed lifetime paychecks and playchecks? I call it the food and the fun. You've got to have the paycheck and the playcheck to beyond life expectancy. So some of the things I teach are simple things, and I want to teach you these two to use with your clients. When you meet that person at the neighborhood barbecue and they say, what do you do for a living? Don't tell them you're a financial advisor. You look at them and you go, well, let me ask you, does 1 + 1 = 3 or does 1 + 1 = 2? Person looks at you with white smoky coming out of their ears going, 1 + 1 = 2. You go, are you sure? Could 1 + 1 ever be made to equal 3? If we sent 1 + 1 on a Tony Robbins course and it did the firewalk and it came back highly inspired, would 1 + 1 ever equal 3? No. If 1 + 1 went to church and the minister was on fire that Sunday, would 1 + 1 come back equaling 3? No, it wouldn't. Well, you see, Bob and Molly, when you have a healthcare delivery system that allows people to put up the hand after they have the problem called the cancer and then say, now it's time for me to go buy some insurance, then you are believing that 1 + 1 = 3, and it has a tendency to equal 2. And that is why the current healthcare delivery system is broken and could never work. Could never work. Just ask the actuaries. Now we have Humana with a massive problem, United Healthcare under pressure. We have Blue Cross Blue Shield pulling out of Minnesota, pulling out of Arizona. And guess what? It's fundamentally based on a flawed set of principles, and I want to give this to you to think about. It's based on a set of principles that all people are equal, which is very dear to the American Constitution. But all people aren't equal in terms of healthcare delivery. You notice a few years ago we took smokers and non-smokers and decided they should be in separate mortality pools. You see, folks, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Switzerland have the right idea. You get a lifetime allotment of points, and when you're out of points, the doctor will sit when you're 89 and say, you've had a good innings. You've had a good run. You must go home and die now because you're out of points. Or your children can bring a mortgage-free house or American Express Platinum card, which means that you tend not to use your points when you're younger because you're going to save them until you're older. Mr. Trump wants to copy the Canadian healthcare delivery system. That would be a really lousy idea because it's free, but it's not very good. Oh, if you're very sick, it's good, but don't have a broken arm and expect attention in anything less than 10 hours in a waiting room in a Toronto hospital. It's 11 months to see a specialist right now, and there's an 18-month waiting list for a bypass. So we shouldn't copy the Canadian system because it's busy bankrupting the Canadian economy. Here's another one. Does 10 minus 5 equal 5? Mark meets me at the neighborhood barbecue. He goes, what do you do for a living? I say, Mark, let me ask you a question. Does 10 minus 5 equal 5? Or could 10 minus 5 equal 0? Or Mark, could 10 minus 5 equal minus 5? He looks at me totally confused. Mark, if your parents get a 10% average annual return on their money from age 60 to age 90, and they withdraw 5% each year for income, could it be that they could end up with no money? Well, that doesn't make sense. Absolutely, because they use the word average.
And then you take from Bloomberg the picture of Brexit. This is compliance approved for all the companies. You're allowed to take snapshots off the screen of Bloomberg. It's compliance approved. Okay? And you go and you get from 2 weeks before Brexit until today. And I want you to stick that on the back of your MacBook or your laptop. I want that to be in a plastic frame on your desk sitting facing where the clients are. And then you say to the clients, if your parents took 100 grand, put it in the stock market 2 weeks before Brexit. Then on that day that Britain announced that, they phoned their broker and said, get us out, get us out, get us out. And then they frantically tried to buy their way back in when she started flying again. Your parents will be left with four scary choices. Eat cat food when they're older, have a die younger plan, sell Amway when they're 80, or have a legally binding agreement to move back in with you, or reduce their withdrawal rate to 2% for a decade to recover. Not many people understand the sequence of returns. This is a great way of explaining it to clients. In fact, Bob, 10 minus 5 could equal minus 5 if your parents end up moving in with you. Do you know how many states are passing laws right now that are going to make the financial problems of the indigent parents the problems of the children? Go and do your own research. Because the states are in huge trouble. They haven't finished building New Orleans since the last Katrina. Never mind the existing problems over there. That's why the states are putting out of university funding. My state, Arizona, ASU, I was sitting with the president and the foundation president because we're doing a massive evening of giving there. We're going to raise $1 billion in policies over 10 years. And they told me that the state of Arizona took $75 million away from them last year. They fought like crazy and got $27 million back. Because the states are starting to say, we are not in the higher education business. We've got roads and bridges to fix here. I don't like going to New York City because they've got potholes with zip codes and people living inside there. You need a spinal fusion by the time you get to downtown Manhattan. It's ridiculous. So when do we jump? When we see the water or when we see the rocks if we're Acapulco cliff divers? You're going to tell me when we see the rocks because we are financial advisors. But you put this picture on your desk. Most of your clients go, they jump when they see the water. You go, that's when the one-time Acapulco cliff divers jump. And they don't get to jump again, you see, because they hit the rocks. If you were to stand there at the Gulf unemotionally with skyscrapers and shopping malls under your arms, as our carriers did, and say this is a sad day, but it's not a bad day, you would have jumped into BP stock at $27 on June the 25th. Look at what she did by the time we got to February the 18th. That's about an eight-month return from 27 to 47. That's the business that we're in, and you would want a partner like this in your life. Take my slide, put it on your desk, and show it to people. People think they can do it themselves. People can't do it themselves. People think they can do their financial planning themselves. Hand them a financial calculator and say, won't you calculate the after-tax implication of fee drag on the 85th year of your life for me quickly? The after-cash flow, the after-tax cash flow implications of fee drag on your 85th year of life. Here's the financial calculator. You see, we need to become more passionate about what we do. We've got to get back to the good old days when we told clients what they needed to do. Instead of rolling over and playing dead, the people in this room are pure geniuses with clients' money, relatively speaking. But sometimes you need the confidence tools to show clients how clever you are. What do you do for a living? Our parents proof people's financial plans. Here's a cool model that I introduced so that you can tell clients that defense is more important than offense. You want to play defense before you want to play offense. I mean, let's face it, Peyton Manning last year, with a triple operated on neck and a gammy leg and a glass eye, I mean, who would have said he would have beaten Cam Newton? If you went to Vegas, if you were a gambler, and you said, I'm going to place a bet, Cam or Peyton, they'd say, no, you should go with Cam Newton, right? But they just proved that defense is more important than offense. Record-keeping, parent-proofing and guarantees. You've got to have all your records in one place. You've got to make sure that what you've got, your assets are parent-proofed, and you better make sure that your parents have got guarantees so that you never inherit them financially. Isn't it true that defense can be more important than offense? Of course it can. So let me share some fun stuff with you, because I thought I'd bring you some fun stuff that you can do to meet people, because we need to have a people-meeting system. Whether it's going down to the driving range, which is better than sitting in our office, to be able to go out there and meet people. The birthday cakes campaign. That's one of my guys in Omaha, Nebraska. And that is a galloping granny. She's 79 years old. That's Cake. She's got lots of cats and she enjoys Coca-Cola. And there she is. And she's he takes her to her house. I'll say it again. Takes the cake to her house on her birthday. All the other galloping grannies standing around going, gee, we wish we had an insurance agent who looked after us this well. And Michael, my guy, is like, You can, $17,000 in commissions within 6 weeks as a result of a $110 cake. Like if you took that to a fund manager in Wall Street, what kind of return would they be impressed with?
There's a cake from one of my guys in Baton Rouge. That's James, the CPA. He takes it to his place of work 48 hours before his birthday. 70,000 in premium on referral within 6 months. The guy on the left is a Northwestern Mutual agent. Dr. Faisal Ahmed is on the right. And that, folks, is a brain cake. It's kind of gross, isn't it? Dr. Ahmed sends a text message to all of the oncologists, cardiologists, neurosurgeons in the Detroit General Hospital and says, get in here and check out my birthday cake. Guy on the left has done $120,000 in premium in 1 year as a result of a $125 cake. That's pretty ingenious. This is Beth and Dominica in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's to two breast cancer surgeons. And they took that to them and to wish them a good 2016. They've been invited to the Breast Cancer Surgeons Association a Professional Development Day where they're going to meet all of the others. This is the same thing they did for a CPA, woman CPA. Good luck with tax season. Woman CPA says, when I get back from recovering in Aruba from tax season, you're coming in for the day and we're going to go through my entire client list and you tell me who you want to meet. Because in 25 years, I've never had anyone treat me this way. Now, there are five reasons why these custom cakes work. And I promise you, some of you are going to go out of here and not try this, and I guarantee it won't work. You'll find most of my ideas that you don't try have a tendency to be guaranteed to not work. Then there's going to be a group of you that are going to try it. You're going to have such success that you're going to get shocked and stunned at the amount of money that you're making easily, and your brain will go, no, things are not meant to be this good because you're meant to go through purgatory and suffering, and so then you'll stop doing it. And then a minority of you, I say this with love, will go and do it, and it'll become part of what you do. I'm talking 40 cakes a year. 40 cakes a year, okay, because we've got about 40 working weeks in the year. First of all, you turn the cake maker into a client. Let me tell you how to get the cakes cheap. You go to Albertsons or Safeway, and you move up to that bakery counter conspiratorially, and you wait till the supervisor goes in the back. Then you lean in there, Susie Cream Cheese, the cake maker, and you say to her, I'm looking for someone who makes cakes like this. I know you're in the sticky buns and French loaves business. I'm looking for someone in the community who makes cakes like this. And she will look to see where the supervisor is, and then she'll go, I will. I do. And she'll give you a slip of paper with a phone number on. And she'll use Albertson's fondant and Albertson's sugar and Albertson's eggs, and she'll make them at night in moonlight. That's how you get the cakes real cheap, okay? Gives you massive goodwill. You must not send the cake over. I had a guy there, I've sent out three cakes, no one's bought anything from me. I said, you sent three cakes out while you sat in your office, grief-stricken like a dying cow in the hailstorm. No, you must go with the cake. So I would set this up. You must have big cakes. Big cakes aren't twice as much as small cakes. Big cakes, right? So what you do is you arrive with a big cake and you've got some flattened cake boxes so that the people can take the cake home, which means twice as many people talk about you. You must say to the people, why don't we take a selfie so that you guys can post it? Then you've got to stack your business cards there. So 20 colleagues in the office get together, and we have a selfie, which they post on 20 Instagrams and 20 Facebooks, and you'll find about 130 comments start flying in from people. And then what you can do is you can go and do your Jedi search techniques and find out which of the people actually live in a 9,000-square-foot home compared to living in a pup tent. The ones who live in the 9,000-square-foot home, because you can look at the houses through Google Earth. What an amazing thing. If you look at 9321 East Via del Sol Drive, Scottsdale, and I won't repeat my home address, you can see the size of my property. You can see whether the pool's green or not. I've been away for 2 weeks. The pool cleaner hasn't been there. Because I don't clean my own pool. I've got a pool cleaner because I look at a pool and it goes green. I don't even know how to switch on my lights and my fountains. I have someone to do that for me because I'm non-technical. But the point is that you can get out there and befriend people through Facebook. And you should. Then you can send them some tools and resources by email. And don't miss my breakout this afternoon because I'm going to teach you ways that you can get to that person that are so amazing using some existing technologies that you'll just want to rush out there and change your whole life. Because you see, you can't be walking around with a bag of pebbles and a pot of boiling hot oil going, I'm going to fight a battle. Because there's someone who's got a nuclear warhead aimed at your head that's sent off by drone from a cell phone while they're sitting in the Bahamas. And you're guaranteed to lose against that person. It also opens the door for a lunch and learn, and I'm huge on lunch and learns and worksite marketing. You know what you want to be doing? Go over some wood-fired pizzas and some grilled chickens or whatever you guys do here in Utah, and you just go to Harry, the guy who owns the factory, or Julie, who owns the salon. You say, can I come in and do a lunch and learn?
A lunch and learn is 30 minutes, and 80% of the people must book an appointment to see you as a result of the tools and resources you show them. You don't give them the tools and resources. You use them to educate and to teach them using some of my slides that I'm giving you today if you want. Sample plans. You've got to be doing sample plans. When I send you my slides, I'm going to put you in touch with a company called Unibind. They make those binders for sample plans. So for those of you that are using any kind of planning software, I need you to go and create a sample plan. Elvis and Priscilla Presley, 5000 Grayson Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. And what you do is you bind that plan beautifully, and you carry 20 of those in the documents box in the trunk of your car, so that when you're walking in to see Mr. Stavros at Zorba the Greek on a Wednesday night to pick up your Greek takeout, you can say, Mr. Stavros, can I share a sample of the plans that we create at Mass Mutual, New York Life, or whatever, to compare to the plan that you have already? And you've got a tool, a weapon over there. How many of you have seen a new prospect in the last 3 months by show of hands? Let's see. Look around the room. How many of you have seen a new prospect in the last 3 months who's taken out an existing documented plan or strategy with graphs and charts and said, there's our family financial strategy, tell me what you think. Put your hands up. Look around the room. Now, let me share the bad news with you, which is good news if you're sitting at the Taggart Symposium, because you're already special and you're already committed and you're already the elite. Maybe not financially, but up here and in your heart. Within 5 years in America, they're going to make it illegal for you to sell any financial product with advice attached to it unless you can document the client's entire situation. So these application junkies that are just going out there to sell a case to pay their Verizon bill, they're going to be working at Sears selling life insurance on washing machines. And the client will sign a disclaimer saying, I bought a policy, I expect to never hear from this person again, and guess what, they're not being paid trail commission either. Person who sold you your BMW or your car doesn't get a trail commission, that's called the service department. In Australia, it's called the statement of advice. They're 79 pages long. And if the authorities walk in and ask to inspect the Johnson, Smith & Wilson file, and you haven't got an updated statement of advice or a documented proof of offer for an annual review, which they declined in the last year, they will cut the cord off your computer, march you out the building, you'll never work in this business again. So start getting with the program in terms of doing this, in terms of documenting the person's situation, because that's where Tom Perez and DOL appear to be taking us. And for the, how many of us by a show of hands are NAFA members? Put your hands up. Let's see. I'm incredibly proud of you. That's amazing. I won't ask those in the room to raise their hands if you're not NAFA members. But if you're not NAFA members, you're asking a union to represent you, but you don't feel like paying dues. And if it wasn't for NAFA and the great work that they did, kicking doors down and having days on the hill in the last year, Tom Perez and the Department of Labor would have taken you out of this business in the last year. So hats off to NAFA. I've spoken in 47 states for NAFA in the last 2 years. I'm very proud of that. 47, Alaska and Hawaii and Minnesota, you're on my list. Their name goes on the board. 47, I wanted to do all 50. You absolutely have to join NAFA. You know what else you can do? Bring CPAs and attorneys to your NAFA meetings. There's a cool idea. In fact, what I would do if I was a big producer who had a tax problem, not an income problem, I would sign the CPA up for NAFA membership or the attorney and say, I'm buying you your first year's membership. I'm picking you up for all the meetings. Do you think that you'll get your 500 or whatever bucks back as a return if you get this person to get it and to understand the miracle of what it is that we do? Absolutely, and of course. So, Uber. What you do with Uber, which is your private driver, is if you're going to send a sample plan, let's say John and I interact on the phone because golfing buddy Mark suggests that we visit. So what I do is I take a sample plan and John says, all right, come and see me on Thursday. I say, John, are you going to be at your desk for the next 30 minutes? Yes, he says. I say, John, I'm going to send over some tools and resources with my driver. I hit the Uber app and I say to the Uber driver, here's a $5 tip. I want you to take this sample plan in this padded bubble envelope with some other things you'll learn about from me today, and it gets to him within a half an hour. Isn't that cool? That's what Uber's for. It's your private driver. And let me tell you, don't use Federal Express because they're going to send it from Provo through Minneapolis to get it to Salt Lake City. You just use Uber, and it gets there really quickly. Because if there's a differentiator in today's economy, it's that it's not the big that eat the small, it's the fast that eat the slow. Send a spare plan over to John, okay? Two plans. You say, John, share the spare copy with a work colleague who you care about. Next thing I want you to do, those of you that are big producers, buy an hour with your client's CPA. This is the language. Ryan, I was going through your file last night. Couldn't come up with a reason why I shouldn't get together with your accountant, show them the clever work we've done on your planning. Can you think of any reason why we wouldn't do that? Please call your accountant, tell them I'd like to buy an hour of their time. They need to invoice me immediately so that I can bring my checkbook. When you offer to buy an hour of the CPA's time, a miraculous thing happens. They actually become very, very quickly available. It's not like they say, well, I'm too busy, he can see me in October. They go, that's funny, I've had a postponement tomorrow afternoon. The second thing is you've bought the hour, which means you get to use the whole hour. And for the first half an hour, you show them the software you use, you show them sample plans, you talk to them about mortality credits, you show them some of the tools which we will talk about. Frankly, I would give them a Hegner DVD called Don't Worry, Retire Happy as well. I would play them 5 minutes of that DVD so that they understand the importance of paychecks and playchecks and a few other things that we'll talk about today. So take a look at doing that, because these people can become gatekeepers to big cases, and you want them to partner with you. You want them to understand that if the shareholder agreement doesn't have an annual valuation enshrined in the agreement, they've lost on an annual billable event. They've lost out. It is agreed between Joe and Josephine and Julie, the dentist, that the shares of the dental corporation shall be revalued every year and within a one-week anniversary of the signature of this agreement. And that corresponding life insurance shall be taken on each other's partner's life as the values of the corporation go up. Well, what have you just given the CPA? A billable event called a valuation at $1,500 a year over the next 20 years. So, Joe, what was this afternoon worth to you? $30,000? The attorney is the same thing. Most partnership shareholder agreements are actuarially deficient. You know what that means? Like a Swiss cheese. You have to die to get a check, but you can't half die to get a check. And I invented those words, and I want you to use them. Half die. You know what half die means? Your income died, but you didn't quite die. So we need to enshrine the income protection in the partnership shareholder agreement as well, which means you've given the attorney a billable event called redrawing the partnership shareholder agreement. The other thing, of course, with niche marketing is I want you to get into professionals, because professionals have an office and they have staff and they have payroll, and you will never go past the dental practice that says, going out of business, lost our lease, would you agree? Tooth whitenings, 2-for-1, hurry on down. You'll never find that with a professional. And these people gather, and they gather in groups and in nests. So one of the e-books I'm going to send you to thank you for spending time with us today is my Turning PD Days into Pay Days, Turning Professional Days into Pay Days. And I want you to take and sit and pour through it. It's got unbelievable stuff in there. It's got the email that I want you to send to the organizer of the PD Day, because half the time the organizer of the PD Day is actually a person from the industry. Look at NAFA. We don't have that many full-time executive directors. All the folks who serve on NAFA committees are professionals in the industry. This is how you get to meet a bunch of professionals. There's the American Veterinary Medicine Association, for example. They have sub-associations. I saw one the other day. It's called the Equine Psychologists Association. Did you know that there's an Equine Psychologists Association of the United States? I guess this is all the horse whisperers that get together for a symposium. I don't know, I guess American Pharaoh probably has a full-time shrink. And they get together, and these people have got money. So you might go to the American Veterinary Medicine Association website and see that the AVMA of Provo or of Salt Lake City is having a professional development day, or is having a 2-day course at the Homewood Suites on feline dentistry, which is, means they're going to spend 2 days discussing kitties, gums, and teeth. It's not the most exciting thing in the world for you, right? Kitties, gums, and teeth. And maybe what you want to do is to sponsor or offer to sponsor the lunch at the PD day or the course. So instead of having the normal wrap and soup, they're going to have surf and turf, a piece of filet and a nice piece of seafood or whatever it might be. And you get 5 minutes at the podium to share some essential tools and resources which they need for their financial future. So I'm sending you this ebook, and I want you really to consume it because it's really good stuff. I'm proud to tell you it took me 9 people and 3 years, because I'm the most persistent guy in this room. The difference between Morris and a Rottweiler is that a Rottweiler eventually lets go, I swear. I'm the most persistent person. Took me 9 approaches and 3 years to get booked as the opening speaker at the Forum 400 next year. And most of you don't know what the Forum 400 is, but it's the secret society on top of the table. And you've got to earn about $3 million a year to be in that room. But I had to ask 9 times over 3 years from various influential people till they got so sick and tired of hearing my name, I think, that they booked me as an opening speaker. That, to me, is a 3-carat diamond speaking engagement. So I do what I'm telling you to do. You've got to do it all the time, folks.
Do you know what top of the table producers do differently to everybody else? These people who earn $900,000 a year commissions or whatever, they're spending 20% of their time on strategic alliance development. You could go and you could pull down the list of the top 10 RE/MAX realtors in Salt Lake City. It's floating up there in the cloud. Then you phone that realtor and say to them, I would like to come and talk at your next agency meeting and bring you some essential tools and resources which you need for your financial future. And I'm about to show you some of these tools that you can use. And then you go with sandwiches and some apple juice and veggie crisps and you go and sponsor their agency meeting where you get to meet a whole bunch of realtors. 8 out of 10 of them are probably not making a great living, but the top ones are earning a fortune. We just sold my house in Cambridge, Ontario. Faisal Suswala from RE/MAX has sold it, earns $3 million a year, and he spends $1 million a year on marketing, drives a Ferrari Testarossa, a Range Rover with a Kardashian rims, and a Porsche 911 convertible. In Cambridge, Ontario, which only has no snow 8 weeks of the month, and they've got potholes in the road, if you're driving a Ferrari Testarossa, you need my help as a financial advisor. And he's an amazing guy, but you know what Faisal Suswala did for 7 years while I owned that house? He sent us his Christmas carols CD every year. Faisal's Christmas carols, every year in a padded bubble envelope. Dear Anthony, Tennille, and boys, would be nice if you remember the name of the boys, but anyway, dear Anthony, Tennille, I'm talking about my ex-wife here. Dear Anthony, Tennille, and boys, hope you're still enjoying your new home. You know who to call when you're ready to sell. No, Faisal, it's not new. We had to redo the furnace. The sewage tank blew up, and we just redid the air conditioner as well. But anyway, thank you, Faisal. But he burns it off LimeWire, I think. And I compared the handwriting on the card, the Christmas card, to the handwriting on the offer to purchase. It's not even his handwriting. But I'm telling 200 people that story in this room today, and Faisal just got another $30,000 check for selling the house for the fifth time. He's made more money on the house than all the owners of the house have made. That's a smart guy, that, would you agree? Imagine if they came along and said, guess what, your renewal commissions, they go in a number two savings account, and you can only spend those and invest those in the client to be grateful to the client and to take the client out to Denny's for their birthday for breakfast a week before their birthday and to send them a book on financial literacy, a Hegner DVD or whatever. Otherwise, you can't have these renewal commissions. Because you see, the reason that we've got to clean up this industry is because a lot of people are just out there selling something because we paid to sell something. But we don't go back and revisit. And LIMRA will tell you that your clients are buying from us, the industry, 17 times. 17 times from when they're 20-something until they're 60-something, until they die. So what's the perfect advice practice? Not on the P&C side, you obviously need more. But the perfect practice is 600 of the right clients. You do 3 annual reviews a day 200 times, which means you get back in front of all of your clients once. And that's 150 case practice because a quarter of them will buy every year. And I'm finding that in America, only 5% of us are running a 150 case practice. And you can't fail in this business. Now, I appreciate we've got some folks who've been in the business a while ago, came in the business a while. John and Mark were bragging on the years of service that are going to be represented in this room today. Some of you joined the business just after the French and Indian War. I understand that. And they gave you a Chinese abacus and a rate book. And I'm here to tell you that some of you are whale hunters. Some of you just like to meditate a lot and go out 3-4 times a year and catch yourself a whale and dine off the whale for a while. But the problem is, what happens if you don't land that whale? And in my entrepreneurial heaven, there's one thing that I want, and that's called regular, consistent cash flow. So you've got to have that. You've got to have a mix of the two. Senior Elder Planning Week, I'm going fast because I'm going to send it to you. Okay, I'm going to send you all the words. Here, I help people with their financial keys. Here's a concept for you. Half of you in this room who are in an active agency force, a captive agency force, you already have something similar to what I'm going to show you. At Mass Mutual, it's called What My Loved Ones Need to Know. At New York Life, it's called The Life Inventory. At Northwestern Mutual, it's called The Guide for the Future. Some of those companies have a fillable PDF. If you're not in those companies in the room, watch this space. We call it an estate directory. Anyone who signs up for my 2-day boot camp, we will give you a customized estate directory as part of it. I'm coming back to Salt Lake City early in October, for 2 intensive days. And you can come and register today for it. We've got great pricing on that if you register before I leave the building today. But for those that come, we're going to customize your estate directory, which means we'll put your picture and we'll put your bio on there. And an estate directory is really a fillable PDF of every single fact to do with your life. Every single username, every single password, your driver's license number, names of your children, if your parents aren't alive, where are they buried, Let's talk to me about your lawyer, your accountant, stockbroker, religious contacts. Where's the jewelry, the stamps, the coins, the W-2s, the mortgages, the marriage certificates? How many of you, by a show of hands, if you never made it home from this seminar today, your family could use their left or right hand to lift your entire life? I'm giving them one hand to lift your entire life. Any of you in this room? Very few of us, quite a few, congratulations, including the username and password of your Scottrade, iTrade, Amazon account, your LinkedIn, your Facebook, and the alarm code for the cottage and the cabin, including your everything. Everything in one place. I'm going quickly. Very, very important. Do you know why? If Dad predeceases Mom, and Mom's down at Raymond James saying, look, we were married. Here's a picture of us on Instagram. Raymond James is going to say it's a lovely picture, but show me the marriage certificate. So then Mommy's got to be standing in the snow in downtown Provo, okay, waiting at the city council, the city hall, for Gertie with a knitting needle through the back of their hair over here, who's really grumpy today because she had too much gin last night or whatever. And she's going to go over there to the microfiche to uplift the copy of the marriage certificate, and she's too tired to do it today. She's just too tired. So now we have to get Johnson & Smith attorneys to write legal letters at 4:50 a legal letter. This is to expedite the estate, very, very important. Name of the lawyer, etc. Who's going to pay your special needs child's health insurance premiums? And at what point do they stop paying those premiums? Your mutual funds, annuities, stock, bonds, others, P&C insurance, pension plans, IRAs, 401ks, business ownership and social security information, memberships, frequent flyer accounts, legal actions, everything in one place, charitable gifts, personal computer startups, voicemail passwords, social media affinity programs, frequent flyer programs, and what must happen to my body when I pass away. Let me tell you what I want you to do. I want the better producers in this room to sit with their client once a week. It means that you send them three different menus from three nice restaurants, and you say, John, choose your food, it's my treat. I'm coming over, we're going to get your estate directory done. Go and sit and do it with them. I've got a guy from Roanoke, Virginia, the redneck capital of the East Coast. I love Roanoke. Roanoke, Virginia. His name is Todd. He works for National Life of Vermont. Coached him last year to a 72% increase in premium off $1 million base. I'm proud of that. And he went and took the estate directory to his number one client, sat and did it. 30 minutes in, discovered $1 million the client has at UBS Bank that Todd had no idea about at all. You will uncover those lazy assets. So you don't send this to people and ask them to do it. You actually go and sit with them and do it. Very important. You need to have the compliance-friendly disclaimer that says you need to not leave this on the kitchen table. You need to lock this in a family safety deposit box, and you need to have an executor that has access to that in terms of a power of attorney, which gives you a really anxiety-free and automatic introduction to the executors, which is what you wanted. This is Mike, my buddy up there, in Mike McKeithron. This is on his desk, his life key. I walked into Penn Mutual the other day, 21st Century Financial in Pittsburgh, who I've been coaching, and there's the pop-up banner, get your life key today, and there's a QR code. So the pop-up banner, this becomes the trade show booth, folks. Get your financial key from us. Trade show booths are awesome, but you don't want to be standing there with a bunch of banners that say life insurance, wealth management, and you've got some Snickers bars and pens. People come past and pick up a Snickers bar and a pen, and they keep walking, okay, because that's not a trade show booth that produces anything. One of the things I'm sending you once again, another ebook, is this one over here about using an estate directory to prospect. And it's about 40 pages long. If you've got one in your company, then use this training package to be able to get in front of people. You really got to use estate directories and financial keys with people. There's Senior Elder Planning Week. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to send it to you. Another thing that we've worked with very successfully, and you can ignore my whole presentation and just use this one, is what we call a family survey. A family survey. This is for your age 55 plus clients. And what you want to do with your age 55 plus clients is you want to offer them the ability to do a family survey with their kids to find out what their kids think about their money. The kids of today have less interest in inheriting the farm, and they have less interest in inheriting a condo in Laguna Beach in Southern California because they're under pressure. They're not even going to the condo so often. They're under tremendous financial pressure. Why? Because we've got stuff that costs us money. I know we've got a sort of middle-aged average group in this room. I don't know about you, but I think these kids of today think that there's an ATM machine in the basement that gets magically filled with cash by elves every night. It's true. By and large, I mean, my girlfriend's son, Matthew, is with us every 2 weeks. We go off to Dominic's the night of the Phoenix Open. Dominic's for a steak with my friend, Dr. Steve Ross, and his kid. And these kids order lobster. And the waiter's very diplomatic at Dominic's. He says, it's a 3-pound lobster, sir, he says to the 12-year-old. Matthew says, that's okay. We'll have the extra tomorrow on lobster salad. I'm thinking, this kid's got the answers to everything. Okay? He should be selling life insurance. Anyway, so that night we went home, and I said, Matthew, I need to talk to you about something. I said, you're 12. I said, in about a year or two's time, your hormones are gonna rage out of control, and you're going to fall desperately in love with little Susie Cream Cheese at school there with her blonde pigtails, because he goes to the Herberger Private Academy on the ASU campus. You need an IQ of 150 to go there. He's a genius child, but not too financially literate. Love him to bits. I said, and then her parents are going to see you texting her, and they're going to invite you to Dominic's for a steak because they want to know who this young man is. I said, and when they bring you here, you never ever order anything on the menu that says MP next to it. I said, you know what MP means? He said, no. I said, you'll usually see it next to the word Wagyu or Kobe. I said, that stands for market price. I said, you know what that lobster cost tonight? I said, it was $130. I said, now I can afford it. But you never order appetizers if the other adults aren't ordering, and you never order dessert if no one else is having dessert. I said, because that'll be the last time that you ever get to date little Susie Cream Cheese. He said, that's not the way it rolls. I said, it is, absolutely. I said, when I was your age, I fell desperately in love with Shelley Cohen. She was the most gorgeous girl at Weinberg Junior, and I got to go to movies with her. I put my arm around her, and she sat forward for the next 2 hours. We were in the front row. I wasn't going to move my arm. You could have taken a chainsaw and cut it off. I was so embarrassed. Afterwards, we went out to her mom, Chevy, and she opened the car door, and I jumped in. And it was the last time that I ever got to see Shelley Cohen. I never understood why. I said, and her mom, Bernice Cohen, and my mom were playing bridge last year in Cape Town, 40 years later. And Bernice Cohen looked at my mom and said, aren't you Anthony Morris's mother? She said, yes. She said, you know, your son was desperately in love with my daughter when they were 12, but they went to the movies, and she opened the car door, and he jumped in. And I forbade him from ever seeing your son, saying, Anthony Morris hasn't got manners. And you don't mess with my mother's boys, because she looked at Bernice Cohen and said, and weren't you just waiting 40 years to tell me that, Bernice? Are you feeling better now? You should look at my son online. Your daughter wishes she was married to him. Let's shut up and play bridge. Anyway, you don't mess with Maureen Morris. So here's the family survey, okay? Here's the letter that the parents write. In our work with Mark Barlage, we evaluating our state planning commitments. It's important to us that the transfer of our assets creates family harmony and unity as opposed to discord and conflict. As the beneficiary of our life's financial work, we're sure you appreciate the opportunity to give us an opinion. With this in mind, we'd like you to complete the survey, send it to Mark. The results go back to Mark by snail mail, not by email. By snail mail, very important. He will share the results with us. Three-question survey. I'll try to make it a two-question survey. I couldn't get it that short. What do you believe your parents are worth financially? How do you believe their assets are structured? And through their estate, what would you like to receive? Remember my story about TCU and the stirring? You tell me out of 3, 4, or 5 kids whether you're going to get the same answers coming back. The answer is not. And the point behind this, I was coaching Raymond James in Canada. Had a wonderful, wonderful time. And one of the Raymond James guys in Calgary says, one of my clients is one of 8 children. Dad is 97 and owns skyscrapers in Calgary. Didn't used to own fields on which they found oil. Now he owns skyscrapers. He says, 3 of the 8 children are the executors of Dad's estate. Can you see the trouble coming? Because I can. You only have to have one of the kids say, actually, I had breakfast with Dad last year. He agreed not to leave me 1/8 of a skyscraper. Now you have a contested estate with 8 sets of lawyers involved. And it's going to take a really, really long time, because the longer it takes, the more money they make, right? So we had a family survey, which resulted in a family meeting, which lasted 3 days long, which, by the way, is a billable event for those CPAs and attorneys. So if you want to build alliances with CPAs and attorneys, what you want to do is take this to the CPA and attorney. Say, why don't we do family surveys with your business clients? Because if those result in family meetings, that's a billable weekend for you, isn't it now? And that's the way to help those people. You should open a LinkedIn group for CPAs and attorneys as well, and fill it with my information, which I'm sending you. That's why I'm giving it to you. I want you to use it to create a LinkedIn group for CPAs and attorneys to learn how differently and better to partner with you. That results in one other thing I want to talk to you about, and I don't receive 1 cent for this book.
Give me your business card at my booth, and I promise you I'm going to send you how you get this book at the best price in North America. Please, will you read the book? Now, you think, why is he being so hard on us here in Provo on a Friday afternoon? Well, because all of us bought Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Do you know that the average person stopped reading that book after Habit 3? They didn't get to Habit 4, which was called Finish What You Start. Read the book. I promise you, if you read the book, you will become an expert and specialist at the facilitated family meeting. Who gets mom's jewelry? Because it better be written down or there's going to be a family fight. Who says all three of your kids want to co-own the Myrtle Beach condo in South Carolina, which they can't use as collateral security on their balance sheet because Wells Fargo wants to own all the shares of the condo or control them? You can't use one third of a condo as collateral security at the bank. If mom believes that Bin Laden wasn't shot and he's on his way down from Tahoe right now in a dark black Subaru with his friends, which is why mom, with her early dementia, is at Costco, stocking up the basement with a ton of canned meat to prepare for the war, you can't walk into US Bank and say, my mom is losing her mental marbles. I'm taking control of her checking account, because US Bank will say, on whose power of attorney? And medical incapacity, I'm going to say it in this room to a family of producers. We don't use the words outside this room, but I'm going to say it so that you remember. How often do we jumpstart granny? Because it better be written down. The time to take the vote about whose vote counts more, the worst time emotionally is around the hospice bed. Would you agree? The worst time. Michael Schumacher was kept artificially alive on a machine because of a lack of a living will. A lack of a family meeting. You notice you haven't seen any pictures of him since he came out of hospital. That's because it's apparently not such a pretty sight. And it's £115,000 a day right now to continue to try and rehab him. That's a lack of planning. I'm pretty sure Michael Schumacher, the way we understood him as a Grand Prix world champion, wouldn't have wanted to be kept artificially alive by machine. Just the other day, Prince died without a will. I'm waiting for some lawyers to get sued for that one. How can you have signed multi-million dollar recording contracts with a guy who's worth $400 million and he died without a will? So here's what I want you to do. When you buy this book, you get the checklists and agendas for family meetings. Can you imagine a scenario when you send the checklists and agendas for family meetings, your printed copy of an estate directory, the financial key, a Tommy Hegner DVD, and a beautifully bound sample plan, and the printed out family survey to John by Uber ahead of the first meeting? Do you suppose that he's going to keep the first meeting with you? Absolutely. You've just shown him 6 things about his planning that he's never thought about. Why don't you throw in the Alzheimer's.org special report? I call that a financial toolkit. And you know something, if we were to equip the rookies in this business, because we're losing too many rookies in this business, and it's not cool and it's not okay, we still lose the majority of people we recruit. You know why? Because we try and teach them everything technical, and then we hang them out to dry. No wonder they fail. Running off the cliff like lemmings without a parachute. Instead of giving them 50 bound sample plans, 50 gorgeous keys with a customized estate directory, Hegner's DVD and a few other things to seed the fields and go and talk to rich Uncle Harry. Some people look at this and they say, well, aren't you just flooding the client? Isn't it too much? And I'll close by sharing the example of the Caribbean cruise. When you go on a Caribbean cruise, you know, you have a 7-course meal with those strangers at 5:30, and then you go to the show. And then later on, before you go to bed, you say, honey, we better set the alarm because we better not miss that midnight buffet. Oh, like we didn't eat today. No, the midnight buffet. We go down to the midnight buffet on the cruise. There's 6 kinds of shrimp. None of us stand there and go, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Who needs 6 kinds of shrimp? No. People have got a lobster in each pocket. They've got shrimp balancing off their plates. If you share 6 things with people that are different, you come on the boot camp, I'm going to give you another 36 things that you can use with people, and the words to use, and the campaigns to drive this into your existing client base. Because can I suggest that there's diamonds sitting in your existing client base? Worksite marketing, you go over there with wood-fired pizzas and grilled chickens, you get to meet all the staff and the employees. The lunch and learn should actually be about record-keeping, parent-proofing, and guarantees, not spreadsheeting people to death. And if everything the person picks up is different to that which they've seen before, they will want to visit with you and want to meet with you at the end of the day. So from my side, if you want to register for the boot camp, I'll be at my booth all day besides the presentation I'm doing later on using technology cleverly. There's a tremendous discount for registering today. I've been gracious enough to finance those of you that need it over a 2-month period. You can think of it as a half an extra policy you have to sell in terms of the pricing. That's why I handed out
that brochure to you. If you register with me today as well, you can bring your assistant to the boot camp for free. I want your assistant on the boot camp with you. It's a very, very intensive two-day process where we're going to deconstruct and remanufacture your entire practice. So from my side, it's been awesome to grace the wonderful, wonderful platform. Tommy Hegner sends his best love. When he said, I said, I'm going back to Taggart. He said, that's one of the best platforms you could ever be on in this country, and it really is. You know why? Because I witness an industry of uncommitted people and numbers dropping everywhere else, but we've still got the committed people here in Utah that get together in memory of Grant Taggart and the great industry that we represent. And I think we need more of this kind of soul in the business. So thank you very much for investing your time with me and for inviting me back to your platform.